Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right. It's time for us to get into what I'd like to call random question for today. And today, our random question, we're going to have this in the coming weeks as well. But our random question for today is a question that I'll be throwing out to each and every one of you every time we have this segment. And we'll be sharing your answers in the next time that we cover that segment, right? And the random question for today is, which Bible character are you side-eyeing when you get to heaven? Okay? Now, hear me out. Hear me out. I know this sounds strange to some, but you know how sometimes we hear Bible stories that really get us heated, right? You'll find all genres in the Bible, to be honest. You'll find drama, there's history, romance, betrayal, war, prophecy, you know, firsthand accounts, love, hate, everything. Everything that you want, everything you look for in your favorite soapy. You'll find all of that and more in the Bible. And at least these are actually based in the truth, in real accounts, real life accounts, right? And all of those stories really get under your skin sometimes. As you go through the experiences of some of these Bible characters. So I decided to pose this question, which Bible character are you side-eyeing when you get to heaven? And we got some interesting responses to that, right? So I'm just talking about people who you have, you know, you're not convinced, or you just have an issue with that person, or you're thinking you just have a bone to chew with that person. I think that's the best way to describe that. And I had said earlier that the first one that I would need to speak with, I have a few on my list, but the first one I would need to speak with is Eve. Because why, sis? Why are we going through this? Why did we have to go through this? Was it worth it? How good could that fruit possibly have been? And for me, one of the things that used to kind of frustrate me, and I do think about it still from time to time, but I guess maybe I'm learning to let go and let God. But one of the things that used to frustrate me was the thought that you were tempted by a serpent that said that if you eat the fruit, you will be like God. How much more like God could you possibly have become? I mean, you were created literally by his hand. You literally had in your lungs the breath that he breathed into you. I mean, you were as close to like God as a human being could possibly be. How did you get tempted with that? But I remember when I started to have those thoughts, I just remember the Holy Spirit saying, that, slow down. Because 9 times out of 10, The kind of nonsense temptations that you fall to are really kind of dumb. I mean, for lack of a better word, some of the tricks that the devil uses to get you. In fact, he doesn't even need to use tricks anymore. We don't have to say, lead us not into temptation. We are jumping into the temptation head first. So I just felt an impression from the Holy Spirit saying, leave Eve alone. Don't act as if, you know, you've got it all figured out. In fact, Eve was the first person to sin, right? So she had never seen sin before. She had never seen what death looked like before. And one might give her a pass simply based on the fact that maybe she didn't really understand what it meant, you will surely die. She probably didn't get what that means. Just like a little toddler might not get what that means. If you tell them, you do this, you're going to die, they don't know what that means, right? So maybe one might give her that benefit of the doubt, although I struggle to believe that if she was this perfect human being that God created, I would expect that even intellectually. And, you know, I would expect a certain level of wisdom. But that's just me. Anyway, but having said that, here comes me, who has lived on this earth all these years. I've seen the devastating effects of sin. I was born into a world of sin. I've experienced loss and pain and all the negative things that have come as a result of sin. And yet I still, over and over and over again, keep falling into the same traps. So I guess I don't really have a leg to stand on when it comes to judging Eve. But If I had to pick one, if I had to pick one character that outside eye, she would definitely be one of them, as much as I may not be justified in in my judgment of her. But another name that came up more than once was, in fact, Eve came up more than once, I just want to say. So a couple of people actually agreed with me on that one. And then another one was David. Someone wants to know, David, what were you doing on the roof? But I don't know. I believe from what I have understood about the culture at that time, I understand that was not a weird thing. I believe that was just what people did. I'm not sure. But please do correct me if I'm wrong. I understand that was like a thing. But the thing was that the time of day, first of all, was completely off. And then also the fact that he stood there and lingered once he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. He stood there and lingered instead of being like, oh, my bad, and walk away. He stood there and he took it all in and he allowed the devil to, you know, plant a whole garden of temptation in his mind. And we all know how that went down. And it really spiraled. That's actually a really, I don't want to say frightening, but there's something about that story that just shows you how it starts off with something so little, like you not being where you're supposed to be. That's literally how it's just David was not supposed to be taking a stroll on his roof that night. He was supposed to be with his men in battle. And here he was just being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's all the devil needed. And it's so frightening, my friends, to realize that the devil doesn't need a whole lot to reel you in. He doesn't need a whole lot. Just a little letting go here, a little slip here and there, and the devil's got you. Look at David. And when you think about everything that he had accomplished in his life, all his walks with God and becoming the king and being anointed, all this amazing stuff that had happened to him. And then just from being at the wrong place at the wrong time, he finds himself, next thing he's having an affair with this woman. And then, and the more recent suggestions that I've read say it was probably not even a consensual one because of the balance of power between him and Bathsheba. And that's a whole other level, right? So whether it was one or the other, the fact is he was not supposed to be with this woman. This was someone else's wife. And he went through this whole thing, and then she gets pregnant, and then he tries to be deceitful about it, bringing Uriah back, and it just becomes this whole... When I tell you that there's no soapy that can top what you'll find in the Bible, understand me well, right? So the whole thing, it doesn't work out. Uriah dies, and then later on the baby's born, and the baby dies, and all of this from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's actually a warning to all of us, and I hope you're taking heed, that the devil doesn't need a whole lot. He doesn't need you to be sloppy drunk before he makes you do something that you're really going to regret, right? He doesn't need you to steal a whole lot of money, just that little bit that no one's really going to notice. That's how it starts. Right? So the devil just needs just a little crack and he's in there. So you better watch out for that. Let's see. Another one that came up was Paul. Someone was wondering why Paul had to be so harsh in his writings. I have talked about Paul before and the fact that my question was, why couldn't God just write the Bible himself? Because these guys were some of their writings. I'm just like, God, I really wish you could have just said this in your own words. I understand that we've now got these different perspectives and different personalities and different walks of life, different levels of education. I get it. There's diversity in the writers of the Bible. But sometimes we find ourselves having these issues where now we have to explain that, no, I know that this part might sound a little bit misogynistic. I get it. But that's not really how it's meant, how it was meant. This is actually how it was supposed to come out, or this was the intent of the scripture. It becomes such a thing, right? Trying to explain things away, people twisting words to suit their own agenda and their own belief system. It can be messy sometimes, but we know that God's word will do what it was sent out to do. God's word will not return to him void. And we know that the reason for which the Bible was written is going to come to pass. So there's nothing to worry about. We don't need to be afraid of of people misconstruing what God wanted to say. If people really want to understand what God means in His Word, we have the Holy Spirit. So it's not really much to worry about. But yeah, for sure, that could have made things a whole lot simpler. If Paul could have just cooled down, sir, just calm down and just, you know, speak with a level head and, you know, don't be calling people out of their name. So, yeah, and then we've got, this was interesting. Someone calls out Sarah and says, whole Hagar. You know the story. God has promised Sarah and Abraham a baby, and it's been years. Years come and go, and Sarah and Abraham are old now, and I guess Sarah's like, you know what? I'm just going to take matters into my own hands. And she decides to give her servant to her husband to have a baby with. And that turns into a whole other drama, another soap opera, if you will. And so, yeah, this was interesting. The person who sent this message says even Abraham seemed too keen, a little bit too keen to be helpful. Like he could have put up a little bit of resistance. Seriously, sir. You could have. And then we also have Samson. Samson is another one I've judged the same way I judged Eve. Every time you tell this woman where your strength comes from, you can tell that she has gone and told the Philistines your secret because they keep coming and trying the thing that you told them. The thing that you told her was the secret to your strength. I really genuinely don't understand it, but like I said, when I talked about Eve, the Holy Spirit just said, don't do that. The Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Don't do that, because you know that over and over again, you've fallen into the same thing. Whatever it is, whatever sin that is that you've struggled with or that you have, you know, that you've been battling with, whatever it is, it's not like every day the devil's coming with a new thing, with a new trick. He has figured out your weaknesses and he can just keep hitting you with the same thing and you will keep falling for the same thing over and over again. And so nobody gets to stand and point fingers at Samson and say, come on, sir. Really, that this was so obvious. Just because it's not your weak point, it does not give you the right to now point at someone else and say, no, you should have known better, because someone else will be looking at you and whatever it is that you keep tripping over and saying, come on, you really didn't see that there, because you keep tripping over the same thing over and over again. But yeah, it is a bizarre situation. When you think that every time he tells Delilah a secret, this is where my strength comes from. Here come her people trying to weaken him. And he still ended up telling her his secret. I'd actually like to know what Delilah's secret was. Because wow, right? Anyway, those were some of the names that came on in response to the question. In response to the question, who are you side eyeing when you get to heaven? I'd love to hear from you as well. So please do send through your answers. +27734703520. Who are you side eyeing when you get to heaven? And for the next random question that we're going to have, my question is, whose story in the Bible is not balancing? Whose story is not making sense? Whose story leaves you a little bit suspicious? Like, no, there's no way. How though? Right? I want to hear from you all. Please make sure you send through your answers. I'd love to hear what you have to say on that one. Whose story in the Bible makes you a little bit suspicious and you have more questions you'd need answers to? +27734703520. This is Mid Morning Empowerment Weekend, and my name is Swangile Lugube. I'll be with you until 12 o'clock. I hope you're having a good time so far. We are going to break for some music and then we'll be right back after that.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.